Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Saving Lives in Slow Motion. Today, I'd like to talk about personalized medicine. Now, I don't know what your view is on that term, what you even think it means. Maybe you think it means having, I don't know, a doctor at hand all the time. Some people think it means that. Other people think it means medicine that's really precision, tailored to you as an individual. And other people think of it as personalised care, which is a real buzzword in healthcare at the moment, where the practitioner focuses on what is important to you. Well, the way I mean it is definitely not the first one. It's not about having a doctor on call 24/7 at your beck and call. It is more about the latter two. And it's interesting because I think in this day and age, although things are quite futuristic, I sometimes feel that things aren't moving forward quickly enough. For example, I've mentioned on other episodes that when I was a child growing up in the 80s, I thought there'd be flying cars by the year 2000. It sounded very far away. And we still don't have them in 2023 almost. And in the same way, I think of things like ECGs. Any of you who've had one of those, tracing of the heart, is really antiquated. I know there are other ways of getting ECGs, but still the gold standard way is with, you know, these electrodes that you put across your chest and then you wire them up with these leads and you get a readout on a piece of paper. And in the same way, the way that medicine is practiced and the way that the patient is treated is a little bit antiquated. You would think that, you know, we're almost a quarter of the way through the 21st century. Yet still, there is a lot of guesswork when it comes to medicine. Don't know what it is. Try this. If it doesn't work, come back and we'll try something else. Really? Yeah, really. I do that. I try not to, but it's unavoidable because there is just so much that's unknown in medicine. But how do we actually improve that, where we're a bit more precise and targeted in terms of what the diagnosis is and what the treatment is? Well, in order to do that, I think we need to start with something called etiology, which in basic terms means the things that lead to the causation of a disease. It can be quite frustrating because modern medicine, I feel, has forgotten etiology. Some people would argue that it doesn't matter and you just need treatment. But, you know, I disagree. Many years ago, I was on a student firm under a surgeon and very busy man, obviously, and he had to nip out and he had a group of us sat around and he disappeared from the room and said, look, while I'm out of the room, can you come up with the causes of thyroid cancer? So we sat there racking our brains, coming up with a list like chemicals, toxins, genetic mutations, all sorts of other things. And when he came back in the room, he said, right, causes of thyroid cancer, what are they? And we gave him this list. I think there were about six things on it. And he looked at us quizzically and just went, no, it's obvious, it's papillary, follicular, medullary and anaplastic, which are types of thyroid cancer. And we all looked at each other and thought, wait a second, those aren't the causes, they're just different types in terms of how you classify them in terms of pathology. And it was then that it really struck me that the why of medicine is often missing. We get told a lot of what, but not enough why. And I really want to turn what into why. And there's a whole section about this in the beginning part of my book, The Health Fix, which is out in January 23. Shameless plug, I know. But turning what into why is really important if we're going to get to the root cause, if you like, of a symptom or a disease and be able to treat it with some certainty rather than that approach of, don't know what it is, try this. If it doesn't work, come back and we'll try something else. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but it does seem a bit outdated. So that brings me back to the actual subject matter. Personalised medicine, what does it mean? Well, there is something called P4 medicine, and the main visionary of this is someone called Leroy Hood, who's a systems biologist. And the four P's in P4 medicine stand for predictive, preventive, personalised and participatory. Now that sounds really good, doesn't it? But obviously not everyone can access that, and that is an ideal. But just for a minute, if we think about the principles, what it's trying to do is it's trying to look at every angle of how symptoms arise and why disease turns up, if you like, in the first place. And if you look at the health loop, which is part of my book, I lay it out into 8 factors. So those are, again, not in any particular order, genetics, environment, stress, sleep, diet, exercise, sunlight exposure, and historic infections. And actually what Leroy Hood has done, his story's amazing actually, he's such an eminent biologist. His work started in the 70s by bringing engineering into biology. I just want to spend a minute talking about his work because what I've just laid out for you is not something that's in medical textbooks. It's something that I've evolved myself. But if I talk a bit about Leroy Hood and his journey, so in the 70s, having brought engineering into biology, he then went on to develop machinery that could analyse DNA, and that led him to do some work on the Human Genome Project, and then that led to systems medicine. And essentially what he was doing was looking at someone's genes, looking at their gut microbiome, looking at other metrics like physiological metrics, you know, like blood and blood pressure and heart rate variability, all that kind of thing. And what that does is it gives you an ability to track someone's health and their symptoms. And I've got to say, this was all data driven. So it's looking at things mathematically in a way, whereas my health loop doesn't. It just, you apply it to yourself and your own story because it's on an individual basis. But really what he's doing is orientating us towards what he describes as wellness. Now, it's not the wellness that we think of, I think, when we hear that word. He's using it meaning being well, rather than, you know, the wellness industry. And, you know, in a nutshell, what Leroy Hood is looking at is something called the phenome. So the genome is all your genes. The phenome is almost what your body is doing. All of the things that it's expressing, you know, on a cellular level, your tissues, your organs, all of that stuff. And he's really taking this to the next level now, where you'll be able to look at what your brain's doing, how your gut's working, markers in the blood, all sorts of stuff. Now, what I'd like to know, and what I try to do is harness some of that for ourselves. How can we access that without all of the gizmos and the money that you need in order to be able to access that level of personalized medicine. Can it be done? Well, I think it can, to some extent. And earlier on, I was, you know, moaning about things not being as futuristic as you would want them to be. I mean, another thing that I sometimes think about is, you know, why it is that we don't wear something on our wrists. You know, we've got these amazing watches these days that tell us all sorts of information. Imagine if we could wear something like that that had, you know, obviously it'd have to be encrypted in some way, but had your DNA on there, you know, what your allergies were, and all of the things that Leroy was looking at, really. Just imagine how you could tailor your habits and your health to what was right for you. And that would have an impact in preventing symptoms and therefore preventing disease. So let's take a real life example of this. So let's say we've got someone who gets abdominal pain and discomfort periodically, most days in the week, and also has irritated skin, a kind of an undefined rash that's loosely been called dermatitis. And also isn't depressed, but certainly feels a bit low and has a tendency towards anxiety. So this fictional person, let's call him Mickey. So Mickey is in his mid-40s and takes a tablet called mebeverine, which is an antispasmodic drug that stops his IBS-type symptoms, which is what he's been diagnosed with in terms of his gut symptoms. Also has to apply a lot of cream, including some steroid creams for his dermatitis, and has been on and off things he buys himself over the counter for anxiety, like supplements that he thinks might help his sleep or calm him down, and also has an app that helps him meditate. This is a pretty standard story, very common, quite realistic. Now, if we jump over my health loop and go to the Leroy Hood model, and we knew about this chap's microbiome and all the data in terms of his physiology and what his gut was doing and his DNA and all of that stuff, we may get some clues as to why his gut's misbehaving. And that may mean that he changes his diet, and that might have an effect on his skin and on his mood. All hypothetical. Let's come back down the road a little bit to my health loop and look at all those factors. So genetics. Well, so often people give me something about their family history. It's not always relevant, but it often is. And even if it's something random, like, oh, you know, my mum and my dad were both really low on vitamin D, or were both diagnosed with IBS, and mum found that she couldn't really tolerate milk, and dad found that he couldn't really tolerate eggs, or something like that. Those are important clues, and it may be worth trying something called an elimination diet, where, you know, just for, you know, a month or so, you leave out a food group to see if it has an effect on your gut. Then you look at environment. You know, is there something in this person's environment that's giving them one of their symptoms? For example, I have had several patients over the years who work with cleaning products that have skin conditions. No coincidence. So again, we're looking for clues because we don't have the facility to access all of the stuff that you might want to for true personalized medicine. Then we look at diet, exercise, stress, sleep. These are all things that can have an effect on symptoms. Many of you will have heard more than once my story about the guy that used to eat 6 cans of tuna a day and was getting persistent headaches. Is there something like that in the story of a person's typical day that is a big clue that stands out? How many people do you know that eat 6 cans of tuna a day? Then there's historic infections, really important. And anyone who knows anyone who's had long COVID will know that certain infections, particularly viruses, leave a stamp on your immune system and can really fuel symptoms. Perhaps less so in this case. IBS and skin issues are not really that common, but certainly anxiety and effects on mood can be. And lastly, exposure to sunlight. It's a sort of a euphemism for vitamin D levels. And again, a lot of these things tie together. So there are a group of people that have a genetic variation that means that they do not actually absorb vitamin D in quite the same way because of a defect in signaling at receptor level. It's called a VDR mutation. And, you know, that might come out in the story about family history. And also, if you've got a job that means you don't get out very much, well, then you're going to be vitamin D deficient. So you get the picture. And actually, if you optimize all of those things, you know, let's take this character Mickey, you know, give him a bit of vitamin D, try an elimination diet, see if he can get skin-friendly cleaning products, if that's his job as a cleaner, and make adjustments to everything else. What do you think is going to happen? He's going to feel better and a lot of his symptoms will probably calm down. It's quite a basic example, and a lot of people ask me, they go, well, where's the evidence it makes any difference in the long run? Does it save lives? You know, that whole thing about, you know, whether someone should take a statin because you have to treat, you know, at least 20 people in order to save one person from having a heart attack if you're prescribing a statin. And so with all these lifestyle changes, well, yeah, symptoms might go away, but is there any proof that you live longer? Well, it's difficult because you'd have to do a prospective study, something where you're looking forward to endpoints, and they often take years to conduct. But there is a key point here. There's a difference between someone's health span and someone's lifespan. And quality of life when one is an older person is really key. And so disability and disease, the big sort of reason to try and do something upstream, looking at etiology, as I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, the root cause is a way of buying yourself more quality time. That's the way to see it. And, you know, other more tangible examples of this probably include things like type 2 diabetes and the work of David Unwin. Or, in a way, you know, more powerful, the revolution that is happening at the moment with group medicine or group consultations, where knowledge sharing and being part of a group, that community, really harnesses the route to improving your health. Okay, so I hope that was useful. And what I've tried to do there is give you an idea of what real personalized medicine is like, and also how you can tap into it by just thinking about your typical day and laying out those eight factors and then making some subtle changes. Have a listen to my episode on the health fix and also on lifestyle prescriptions. And as always, there are lots of links and lots of information in the show notes. Sorry if that was a bit garbled. It's been a really busy couple of weeks, good but busy. And I've got a couple of really exciting things lined up tomorrow and the day after. So I'm knocking this out at rapid pace, but I do want these to be snappy and useful. So I hope it was. Listen, thank you again for listening. Do let me know if you want any particular topics covering. Find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. And until we meet again next week, do take care, stay well. Bye for now.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.